Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love. CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic healthcare ministry to provide an affordable health-sharing solution rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com. CMF Curo, healthcare fully alive. What are you doing this Lent? The St. Paul Center is streaming their newest video Bible study for free, starting Ash Wednesday. Based on Scott Hahn's renowned covenantal theology, this is a study no one should miss. Invite your friends, Catholic or not. Don't miss your chance to see this premium study for free. Go to stpaulcenter.com to sign up today.
Welcome to Holy Smokes Catholic Review, your weekly dose of good cigars and the good news. This podcast is brought to you by St. John Vianney Catholic Church in Rio Rancho, New Mexico. Incensing the temple today, Father Scott Mansfield, pastor and former rock radio DJ, Tony Willamitis, the guy who knows everything, and Will Tapia, the guy who thinks he knows everything. Now, here's your host, Father Scott.
Thank you, Scott Chapin. Welcome to Holy Smokes Catholic Review. I am your host, Father Scott, along with Tony Willamitis and Billy Tapia.
What?
William Tapia.
Thank you, sir.
And we have a special guest today, Jim Lyle.
Who's that?
Woo! Jim Lyle.
Did you remember his name?
I did.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. What? Yeah.
Welcome to Jim Lyle.
Thank you.
Finally, here, he's actually only here just at the top of the show to clarify how to pronounce his name.
Yeah.
After we do that, he'll leave.
Yep.
Now, this all started because many podcasts ago, I couldn't remember his name.
Several times
more
in
than
a row.
One, actually.
You gave me a shout out. That's how you started it. I want to give a shout out to that guy's wife. Oh, no, you were giving a shout out to my wife, and you said, I want to give a shout out to her husband. What's his name?
Jiminy.
Yeah.
Johnny?
Yeah.
Jamie?
Jimothy.
Yeah.
Jimothy.
I know who you are.
It's actually Jim Lyle. And he's the husband of Jasmine Lyle.
Hey, you know, you mentioned Jimothy. I think, I was just talking to my wife about this. People think that the name Jim is short for Jimothy. Like, this is a
really?
This is a real
That's
thing.
That's a thing? Because of Tim and Timothy?
I don't know. It comes from James. Everybody knows that.
Well, you know, so I'm a huge Office fan. It's no, I will not deny that. And so they have that famous quote where Michael and Jim are meeting and he's like, Jim, James, Jimothy, can I call you Jim? So that's...
That's outstanding. Well, we couldn't have been more excited to have Jim on the show because he has a great background. And we were just discussing off air that he has a background in philosophy and theology. He is a married layman. He has a couple of kids. How old are your kids, Jim?
10 and 3. 10-year-old girl, 3-year-old boy.
Outstanding. And I have to say, I really, really like the name you chose for the boy.
Did you hear that? What was that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Did you hear that?
It was a little
maybe
cut out.
Like, cut in, cut out.
Yeah. I don't think
I'm not sure if
that,
people
though.
Heard it.
Yeah. Jude Anthony?
Jude Anthony.
Sure they did.
Which is the exact
Let's ask him.
Opposite. Jude Anthony is the exact opposite of my first and middle name.
No kidding.
I'm Anthony Jude.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know you were Jude.
Yep, I'm Anthony Jude. So, really digging that name choice there.
Yeah.
Bro. Yeah. Good on you.
Yeah. Hey,
so his father-in-law is father Doug Mitchell.
That's right. Yeah, the retired Father Doug Mitchell. Yep. And where is Father Doug these days?
He's at my house right now.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Wow.
But he's
you should have invited him along for the show.
He lives up in Angel Fire, and he helps out at the parish there in Angel Fire. He's retired, but he's probably working as much as he ever did.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It happens with these priests, except for some present company. I'm kidding.
I'm not working now because I'm here doing this.
This is work for you,
well,
isn't it?
It's fun, actually, more fun than it is work.
No, you're a hardworking man, Padre. and we appreciate it. So, Jim, you were saying off air that that you teach a little co-op out in the East Mountains, right? That's where you live. You live out in the Tijeras area, the Cedar Crest, Sandia Mountain area. And you're connected with Holy Child School, right? And you is that the – but you teach in a co-op separate from the school.
Yes, the well, yes, there's a high school co-op that meets once a week there, and I teach philosophy and theology.
That's pretty epic, man. Because that's Father Mark Granito up there.
Yes.
You like him?
Yeah.
He's awesome. He's my cousin. So
really?
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that wild? It's a small world.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a good dude. Good dude up there doing good things. And I just saw Holy Child just won some kind of award for like some national Catholic award. I'm the worst because I don't remember the name of it. But for being like for excellence in their programs and stuff like that. So
they were. Let's see how to put this. There's this organization called the Cardinal Newman Society, and they basically vet Catholic schools, colleges, universities, high schools, the whole bit. And Holy Child was added to their list as being an Orthodox, high quality Catholic school.
So awesome, man! I love that. Yeah. I just love that. He's such a good
guy. Kudos to everybody involved with Holy Child out there in Tijeras.
Yeah, and we're friends with the principal.
We are friends with the principal,
Janice Martinez,
because she's married to one of your old high school friends.
That's right,
Rob Martinez.
Shout out to the Martinezes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So that's pretty cool, and they espouse something of a more classical curriculum, which is, you know, ever ancient, ever new. And does that play into the co-op teaching that you do as well in your philosophy and theology with these high schoolers?
No, it's not exactly the classical method that we use by this time. I suppose it could fit into that, but I mean, we're teaching philosophy and theology to high schoolers. They're not getting that anywhere else. So I suppose that's classical because we're talking about, you know, we're reading Augustine or we're reading Aristotle or we're reading St. Thomas or you know, the thinkers like that, and we're getting right into the stuff. So that's classical, I suppose, reading primary sources.
Right. Yeah, no, absolutely. And you have how many students that you're teaching in this little group?
Nine
students. Wow. That's recommendable. And then of course, what kind of things are you covering besides the original sources? Are you tackling certain important questions or?
This year is moral theology.
Wow.
So, we're talking about why we do good and avoid evil. We're talking about the nature of human goodness and what's good and bad for a human person, what makes things good and evil, and the connection between good and evil and human nature. We've covered a lot of stuff this year.
Yeah, that is a lot. We were talking again off air about how relevant it is. You know, it's a perpetual question or scandal, of course, the struggle of mankind to overcome his worst self to become his best self. Now, speaking of dealings with people, this isn't the only thing you do. You're a father, you're a teacher, and of course, your full-time gig is working for your family business.
Yeah, that's right.
Mountain West Sales.
That's right. You got the name right.
Shout out to Mountain West Sales.
What's the name,
If
father?
You need building materials.
Jim Lyle Sales.
Can go to Mountain West Sales. You guys are down there off the freeway, off 25, and you guys do all kinds of good stuff.
Yeah.
Residentially, commercially, et cetera, right?
Yes.
Yeah, awesome. Very cool.
And wow. What exactly do you sell?
Building supplies. Probably best known for fireplaces and stoves and stuff like that. But we don't need to talk about that. Let's talk about something interesting.
Well, question.
I am interested.
Yeah, well, I have a follow-up question. It's a great segue. You ready for this?
I'm interested because I own a fireplace, and I'm very interested in the fire pit.
There you go.
Hey, fire pits.
Fire pits.
Outdoor fire pits.
I can help you with that, yeah.
Bonfires. Are we not outdoor fire pit people?
We are.
That's where we oftentimes smoke our cigars.
That's exactly right.
When the weather is nice.
Oh, man.
That's exactly right.
Can I just put a plug? Can I just give a shout-out real quick to the entire month or the season of summer? My goodness, some of my favorite times are sitting out on that back patio. I mean, you know, so over where Father Scott lives, he has this beautiful back patio. It's manicured lawn, big, beautiful trees, and then they have this incredible fire pit with a fountain. I mean, it's something that looks like it strolled right out of Tuscany somewhere, right?
That's right.
Are there trees out there?
Yeah.
Yeah, we got
trees.
I didn't know you had trees.
Yeah, it's so nice.
We got trees. We had to plant them, but we have trees.
Yeah, exactly right. So anyway, yeah.
Well, I was going to ask Jim. This is my segue, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah, you'll like this.
I'm ready.
So do you have a fireplace, Jim?
I have four fireplaces.
Wow. And by any of them, do you sit and per se smoke some tobacco? Maybe cigar, maybe a pipe?
No, we were talking off air. I have a library in my house. Mm. So the entire room is lined with bookcases, floor to ceiling. Mm-hmm. And I can't smoke in there.
Yeah, because then the books will take up the
No. I would smoke in there. But in college, I was telling you all off air, I smoked a cigar while I was driving my wife. She was then my girlfriend. I was driving her pickup truck. And I smoked a cigar in there in summertime in Austin. And that truck stunk like a cigar for the rest of the time that she had it. And so that was it.
Yeah.
I'll never be able to smoke inside. I thought about smoking a pipe last night, as a matter of fact. And then I thought, that'd be pretty stupid outside in like 30-degree weather smoking a pipe.
Yeah, but do you have an outdoor pit?
Yeah.
And so you smoke out there when you're
outside?
Yeah,
but we're talking about the East Mountains. Like, oh, yeah. You city people down here don't really know what it's like up there. It's just, you know, it's where real men live.
Well, then this is divine providence then that you're joining us today. Because here you go. Get a smoke inside a nice, warm, comfortable studio.
So. I feel a little uncomfortable smoking inside, actually.
It's a little different, yeah. But we that's the privilege we have of being in studio. You're partaking of a short little cigar with a Kinetic wrapper. It's called a Macanudo Court.
Yeah.
And how do you liking it?
It's really nice.
Yeah. Strong? Weak? Medium?
Mild. Yeah? Medium, yeah. But it's just the right size. I don't know how you could smoke those gigantic things that Father's got there.
Oh, Father's rocking the Old Faithful.
The Old Faithful.
And it is a pretty big cigar, the old Padron 7000.
Which right. is, that one, though, is not a natural, right?
Or is this it a natural? This is a natural.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Yeah. You can tell, you know, you set them up side by side, you can tell the difference.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're more of a pipe guy, though, right, Jim?
Yeah, yeah.
Talk to us about, what kind of tobaccos do you smoke when you get a chance?
Stale tobacco. Is what I usually smoke.
Yeah.
Is that a preference thing or is that just like
consequence thing. Just a matter.
Well, from what I understand, I am not an expert in it by any means, but from what I understand, tobacco goes stale after about a week.
No.
Depends on how you
like
store
loose,
it, I
loose
suppose.
Tobacco, yeah.
Oh, you're talking about, yeah, not it's not humidified, right?
Right.
You're talking,
it's just in a
just
pouch.
Leave, yeah,
it's
and you leave it out, and maybe, right?
Yeah, but, I can see that.
You know, it doesn't bother me. I mean, I smoke it whether it's fresh or whether it's stale because I'm not going to go and get a new pouch of tobacco every week. You can't buy a small enough quantity for the kind of smoking that I do to keep it fresh. Right. So
that makes sense.
Probably true. Unless you go to somewhere like, you know, I've been to Stag Tobacconist in on the east side of Albuquerque, and they'll let you, for a small price, like a quarter or 50 cents, they'll let you smoke a pipe full.
Really?
Just as a sample, right? And so you could sit in there and smoke the flavor that you've just chosen for 50 cents. And the idea is that you're supposed to be, you know, seeing if you want more. But I suppose you could get away with just doing it once a quarter or something.
Well,
I'm always in search of the way that what I'm really looking for is that just aroma, that pipe aroma that everybody's familiar with.
Mm.
And that's what I'm always in search of. I don't know how to get it. I don't know what the blend is, but... That's my goal is to find that because maybe one day if I find that, my wife would say, "Oh, that smells really good. Why don't you smoke that inside?"
Dude, bring that indoors, honey.
That's like your hobbit's weed there, Tony.
Yeah.
I bet you that's the hobbit's weed, man.
Yeah, I might have to let you try some of the stuff that I smoke.
The Holy Grail.
Yeah. I went to Stag Tobacconist because about a year and a half ago, my daughter and I read all the Lord of the Rings together. Mm. Well, I read them all to her. I did all the voices. And
that's awesome.
But she's never seen the movies. So when she sees the movies, she's going to say, "Dad, you just ripped off those voices." She thinks I'm a genius now because I sound just like all the characters. But when she hears it...
Can we have a sample?
We have to hear your Gollum.
No, let's start with Gollum. Let's start with...
Gandalf.
Let's start with Gandalf, yeah. Here's actually when he's smoking in Bilbo's house and he's just discovered more about this mysterious ring that Frodo has. Riddles in the dark.
That's awesome.
That's epic. Wait, is he still going?
That's outstanding.
Wait, I think the draw is a part of it.
But that's it?
I think that's it.
Well, I can do more, but I'd have to have a book in front of me. I mean, if you want me to, you know what? Have me back here, and I'll read the book for an entire podcast. I'll do all the voices, if that's
that
what you
would
want.
Be fun.
Would we get sued by George Lucas or something? Yeah. All right, now is it time for Gollum? Is it
or a Bilbo okay. or a Frodo?
Yeah.
All right, here's Gollum. When he and Frodo and Sam have just seen the Easterlings, the bad guys from the East, and they are taking a rest, and Sam finds some, well, actually, Gollum finds some rabbits, abrasiconies, as he calls them, to cook up. And then he's cooking them in a stew, and Gollum's horrified because he wants to eat these things raw. And Sam puts some potatoes in the stew, and he says, Sam says, put some nice taters in there. And Gollum says, what's taters, precious?
That's awesome.
That is outstanding.
I love it.
That's great.
Oh, that's so good, man.
That's good entertainment right there.
Yeah.
And what a great, man, speaking of good literature, goodness gracious, J.R.R. Tolkien, mm-hmm. such a great great author, and so many metaphors, dare I say.
Uh-oh.
So many metaphors.
For what?
He's the rich man's C.S. Lewis.
Yeah.
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 That's a good way to look at it.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's fun to read such material while enjoying a smoke.
In fact, be it a pipe or a cigar. Now, Father, you're holding a label right now. In fact,
now I think we may
you've smoked a couple.
We may have reviewed this previously.
I think
this
we probably
is the
did.
Camacho. It's the orange. Is that yellow or orange?
I think it's orange.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's the Connecticut. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did a baptism yesterday, and
I smoked a cigar during the baptism.
I did.
And we're truly incensing the temple.
In lieu of the incense, he just lit
and I had four babies, and the parents are very upset with me for introducing their children to, of course, the fine art of smoking
Stop.
Cigars.
Stop
no, not really. But Arnie,
they gifted you some cigars.
Arnie, who uh-huh. a godfather to one of the children. To the Barry kid, gave me a box of Rocky Patels, and they're called
It's a Boy.
It's a Boy. That's
it's
the
a
brand.
Boy. That's oh. a, yeah, literally.
That's what you're smoking right now, Will.
It's a Boy, Rocky Patel.
Yeah, so it's clever because you know when somebody has a baby, you know the dad goes out and buys cigars and usually doesn't know what he's buying, and he'll go and get the Swisher Sweets and the you know, the Perfectos by Dutch Master, whatever, right? So, not knowing. So, Rocky Patel came up with a lower, you know, price cigar that dads could buy that are not expensive, but that are good.
Yes.
And it's clever, very clever. And there's also another one called It's a Girl. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it's the same cigar.
Yeah.
But it's a Connecticut wrapper.
Mm-hmm.
And William and I enjoyed one last night where he's enjoying one right now.
Yep.
And such a mellow, buttery taste. Such a good burn, and it took, what, hour and 15, 20 minutes to smoke?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So a good, long, lasting cigar, great draw, again, beautiful, right down to the fingers burn,
yep.
No runners, perfect.
Yep.
Yep.
I don't know what you just said. I've never...
Well, you haven't heard Will review a cigar yet, so you're in for it, bro.
Here it comes. Yeah, so I am smoking the It's a Boy by Rocky Patel. Shout out to Father Scott. Thank you for letting me indulge in this thing. I brought along some of those Miami cigars that we've been fanfaring about, but we'll save those for later. Anyway, yeah, so it is a Connecticut wrapper cigar. It looks like a natural, so it's not as light as Connecticut's usually tend to be, like kind of like a lighter... I don't know, lighter latte color. It's like what I would think of for a Connecticut wrapper. It looks to me like a medium body cigar. It tastes like a medium body cigar, which is nice considering it has a Connecticut wrapper. To me, it reminds me a lot of walnuts. It tastes like walnuts. A really nice walnutty, kind of woody taste. Really pleasant. You know, I know on the podcast you guys have heard me describe some cigars as like a late evening afternoon cigar, kind of like to finish your day because it's heavy. This is the exact opposite of that.
Right.
This is really light. It's really mild. It's really tasty. You know, it's one of those cigars that you smoke and then you can go on the rest of your day and you will not taste it the rest of the day.
I didn't even have to brush my teeth. I'm telling you, I smoke that in lieu of brushing my teeth.
Okay. That was such a weird thing to say.
That's awesome.
No, but you know.
So you're saying, no, Father, you don't brush your teeth?
No, I'm saying it's like after these padrones,
yeah.
I have to brush like three times, rinse my mouth out with a half a bottle of Listerine.
Or the stuff that Colonel Stephen Garcia recommended, right?
Right. Oh, yeah. Dr. Filchner's or Titchener's, right?
I think that's the name. Jim has already found out very soon, very early on in the podcast that we have problems with names.
So you're
studio.
Smoking the Padron 7000?
Yeah, and I'll tell you, this thing is...
sounds like
well,
a car.
Yeah.
From the 1950s.
Right? Yeah. It is, basically. Yeah.
But this is a...
it's a tailpipe.
Yeah, this is
actually something we found out it that father like likes
a,
to do with
like
his friend.
It looks like a cartoon stogie.
Well, see, now, I don't know about it looking like a cartoon stogie, but this is the natural, and sometimes I'll smoke the Maduro, which, yeah, it's pretty harsh.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so you're right about that Rocky Patel. It's the exact opposite.
Yeah, man, it's so delicious.
Yeah, and you said it's woody. I gave it a buttery sort of review.
Yeah,
Oh, yeah, buttery's far more accurate than woody.
No, but
yeah.
Listen, you know, I'm telling you, so it's perfect. Yeah. That's a great thing they did because, you know, you buy them for, you know, dad has and he wants to pass out cigars to his friends.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a great cigar because people who don't normally smoke cigars, when they smoke something like this mm-hmm. or like a Maduro, you know, they get a third of the way down and then they're and they can't and they put it out. You can smoke that thing and all the way down and enjoy it.
Yeah.
Right. So for the person who's not a normal or a everyday cigar smoker, I think that's perfect.
Mm-hmm. You know? No, it's, and you know, and you're right. That's what's so great is it's so such a high quality cigar, which is what Rocky Patel is known for. Mm-hmm. So it's a really high quality cigar, really affordable price. And just, yeah, an all-around awesome smoke. The burn is great. I mean, I really can't speak higher of this cigar. So I'm a fan. Thanks for letting me imbibe, Padre.
Mm-hmm. I test drove a Padron 7000 a couple weeks ago, actually. It's a lean machine.
So you did not. Fake news, bro.
Hybrid, yeah.
That's fake news.
That is fake news.
So should we talk about what you did this weekend, Padre?
Yeah, I did the there was the Albuquerque Hispano Chamber of Commerce Gala. Mm-hmm. 2,000 people, very lovely, great people, very nice. Jim Garcia, you know, brought me in, and so I did the invocation. We had our governor there, the mayor of Albuquerque, the mayor of Rio Rancho, all kinds of people, Politico people,
yeah.
Secret Service people everywhere,
yeah. Wow.
And all kinds of friends. General Ken Nava was
yep.
there, and
Colonel Garcia
once again, was yeah. there. And Tessa from, she's one of the news ladies on channel, whatever. And,
Tessa Mentez, yep.
Yeah. And so I did the opening prayer, and there sitting in front of me was, her name is Chevelle Shepherd, and she won this year on
Chevelle.
The Voice.
Chevelle Shepherd.
What did I say?
You said Chevelle.
No,
that's
I
okay.
said
it's
Chevelle.
Chevelle. It's okay. It's Chevelle.
It's part of the course, as far
and,
as I can
tell. Truthfully, too, Father
I said,
Scott.
I said Chevelle.
You said Chevelle. We can back up the podcast.
Like Chevelle,
you said Chevelle.
I think a Chevelle is a car, like a Padron 7000.
Exactly. So, no, Father's being totally humble. It was a super big deal. I mean, it was at the Albuquerque Convention Center. Mm-hmm. 2,000 people, like you said. I mean, this high-end black tie gala. Mm-hmm. I mean, they had all the, they pulled all the stops for this thing.
I looked good, didn't I? I dress up well, don't I? Don't you think? I had my suit and tie on. I mean, my collar, my Roman. I mean, my.
I was going to say, you kind of look the same wherever you go. So,
no, but
what are you
this.
Distinguishing?
Look,
you put
wearing...
on a blazer. That's always a class it up little thing.
No, but
for,
I wear the
priests.
Rabbi. I wear what is mm-hmm. called a rabbi. It's for yep. dress up.
A rabbi?
Is that the shirt front?
Not a rabbi,
type thing?
You dope. A rabbi.
Is that the shirt front type thing?
Yeah, yeah. That,
it's
that
like a fake
down.
Shirt. Yeah, it's a it's fake a shirt. No one knows
like,
you're wearing it.
It's like evening wear for a priest.
I right. think exactly
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a class it up move.
Mm-hmm. It like it basically just is like a regular priest shirt, just sans the buttons. There's no buttons that got on the front, right?
Because yeah, it's looks, like it looks sharp. It's what the bishops wear, dude.
Hey, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what I'll do. So for fans of The Voice, NBC's The Voice. So
what was
you know
that
was my announcer thing, like trying to sound like Scott Chapin on the podcast.
Give it up, huh?
Anyway, so fans of The Voice and like pretty much everybody in New Mexico will know about this person, Chevelle Shepherd. She won The Voice. I think this last season, she's 14, 16 years old. She's a young girl from Farmington, New Mexico. She's incredible, super nice, incredible voice. Oh my goodness. Her voice mm-hmm. is so beautiful. Mm-hmm. She performed a couple of songs there at the gala, which was just totally phenomenal. Father Scott, got to meet her right at the end of the end of her performance.
Well, you're going to meet her next week.
Yeah.
This Friday, in fact.
This Friday, yeah. So I don't think I've talked about this in the podcast before, but I help out at a local TV show called The Colt Bollock Show. So we're having Chevelle on the show as one of our guests coming up this Friday, doing production for them. So that'll be super exciting. She's super sweet, incredible voice. I think I'm going to... Do you mind, Father, if I share that picture of you and Chevelle on our Instagram page? Is that cool?
That's good.
So, so if you guys follow us...
I look darn good in my rabbi.
So you can see the rabbi that Father Scott's talking about.
Not a rabbi.
So if you give us a follow on Instagram, at Holy Smokes Catholic, and I'll post that picture. It was a good time, man. A lot of fun. What do you got there?
It looks like it's time for trivia.
Trivia time. Okay, today is Monday. We're recording this on Monday, the 11th.
Yep. Happy Feast of Our Lady of Lourdes.
There we go. So we have a Lourdes and St. Bernadette quiz.
Oh, nice.
Okay, I'm going to split this mic, dude.
Yeah.
So I can get the answer first.
Okay. Absolutely.
You ready? What are you doing?
Don't do that.
Come on, man.
Will and I are sharing a mic because we only have three mics and we have four people in studio.
Yeah.
And I want to get the answer.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. Number one. Question number one. All righty?
Uh-huh.
All right. So in what year did Our Lady's apparitions to Bernadette begin? What year?
I've got an answer. Jim, how you feeling about this one?
I don't know.
I was just looking up some information today and happened to cross the refresher.
Cheating. Look at him. Cheating.
It's 4 years after the dogma was announced of the Immaculate Conception, and it's 1858.
Hey!
Awesome. Yeah, so this was kind of like seen as a ratification of what the Pope had done 4 years earlier.
Okay.
Because she announced herself as the Immaculate Conception. Oh, well, am I ruining the trivia?
Yeah, you just ruined the... You're dope. You just... Okay, question six.
All right, yeah, go ahead.
Enough. Okay.
We'll come back to it.
How old was Bernadette? This is number two. Question number two. How old was How old...
I think it's the smoke. I think it's just getting inside of our brains.
How old was Bernadette at the time of the first apparition?
I've got a guess. I'll guess.
What are you saying?
I'll guess 14.
I'm going to go with 12 just because it's different, although I would go with 12 or 14. What do you think, Jim?
I'd go with 14 too.
14.
Ah,
14.
14. Woo! So for trying to be different.
That's right.
What appeared, question number three, what appeared atop the feet of Our Lady when she appeared?
Atop the feet?
Yeah, on top of her feet.
Over her feet. Over?
Actually, on her feet.
Not under her feet?
No.
Over?
On top. On her feet. Like on top of her feet.
Hmm.
Wow.
Trying to imagine the image in my mind.
I'll guess. Okay, I'm going to
You see images of Our Lady standing on a serpent.
Yeah.
Right?
So unless it's like the serpent's head that like coils back onto her feet, that's what I'll guess.
No, she wasn't standing on a stake.
On a stake.
A stake. Good Lord, bro.
A snake. God, what is this?
I think you need to sign up for Jim's co-op class. I'm sure he's...
Snake. She didn't appear. She wasn't standing on a snake.
What did she have on her feet?
Yellow or gold roses.
Oh, okay.
Really? And not standing on
flowers,
them, but on
flowers,
the top.
Just kind of on top of her.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, number four. What actress played Bernadette in the classic film Song of Bernadette?
Boy.
I don't know.
I'll guess.
This is just totally a guess. Judy Garland.
That's as good as Katharine Hepburn.
Somewhere over the serpent. No, actually, it's Jennifer Jones.
Oh, of course it was.
Yeah, Jennifer Jones.
I would have said that, yeah.
Who was nominated for Academy Award. I don't know if she won it or not, but for that film.
That's right, really? Yeah.
Okay, now, by the way, 2 weeks ago, I was talking about, we were speaking about the movie, The Song of Bernadette.
Yeah, I remember this.
And I said, I gave some bad information, because I said that it was Vincent Price, who was in the film, who said that line, for those who have faith or those who believe, no explanation. Actually, it wasn't. It was Charles Bickford, who played the priest in the movie, who said the line.
Wow. Right. He was reciting St. Thomas.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
Was that Father Gabriel who issued a formal correction?
Father Gabriel? No, I issued my own self. Because I was laying in bed that night thinking, was that right? And it wasn't.
Wow.
Okay. By the way, Ali J. Cobb is in the movie, and he reappeared in another film from 1970 called The Exorcist. He played the inspector.
Yeah, no kidding. We were just talking about The Exorcist film today at our staff meeting because we're planning on an exciting series of talks having to do with evil coming up in Lent. Yeah, our Friday night talks are going to be about fighting
spiritual warfare.
Yeah,
And you know, we do have there's a lot of witchcraft in this state. You know, there is. So he'll be addressing that.
Yeah,
you know, and in the East Mountain, where there's no, you know, wimpy men, all the manly men live up in the East Mountain.
That's right.
And there's also witchcraft.
Well, you would know because you were the pastor up in Taharis. Mm-hmm. That's father for a while.
Mm-hmm. He was my pastor for a while.
Were you? Yeah,
I was. Okay, number five.
One time he got mad at us because this was when the changes happened in the Mass and we didn't stand at the right time. And he got mad at us.
It's not true.
That is true.
This is fake news. Yeah. Now, that's fake news.
It's true.
You mean the changes that had to do with, like, say, translation, et cetera?
He had his hands up, you know, in the posture. He's standing at the altar.
Are you talking about me?
Yeah, you. He's standing at the altar in the posture, and we all didn't stand at the right time. And you can't see this, obviously, but he just shakes his head like.
I don't remember this. Dude, I don't remember this.
That sounds about right.
I can 1,000% imagine this happening.
Father has a good Ars Celebrandi, and he hopes that his whole congregation will follow suit.
Okay, number five. In what place is Bernadette buried?
She's in France.
Well, yeah, there you go.
Good call.
Okay, I'll guess in Subaru.
And I'll guess Lourdes.
Jimmy?
Actually, Paris.
Nope.
Ah, damn. Nope.
France.
She's trying to think of where she would get the most access.
Is it Nevers? Nevers?
Yeah.
Right.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Probably a silent S on the end if it's French.
I hope I'm right. I hope Wikipedia didn't steer me. Father Gabriel Catholic will Wikipedia. Correct me if that's the case. During one of the apparitions of Mary to Bernadette, Mary identified herself as all we already know.
The Immaculate Conception. Yeah, in fact.
Je suis la Immaculate Conception.
Mm-hmm. That's very nice. I like that.
Thank you.
Very good. Number seven and final question, ladies and gentlemen. To date, how many approved to date, to as of this moment, right now, how many approved miracles have been attributed to the Lord's phenomenon? Okay. Mm. Now these are verified, investigated, stamped as approved by the Catholic Church miracles.
I know the answer.
What's the answer?
No.
Yeah, what is it?
You want to take a guess? Take a guess.
Two.
Okay.
I'm kidding, of course. Wait. I have no idea.
Yeah.
70.
Yeah.
Wow.
And 70.
Just this past week, the 70th. Yeah. Was a nun.
No kidding.
Right.
Wow.
Right. That's remarkable.
That's our trivia.
Hey, Lord's trivia. Good trivia. Woo. Yeah, any trivia that honors Our Lady is a good trivia.
Okay, so one of you guys have to read the gospel because I don't have my... I don't have my info in front of me.
Okay.
My phone, which has the readings on it, I don't have.
I'm surprised. You always have your phone.
No, not always.
It's usually going off in the middle of the podcast.
That's true.
It's probably... usually blowing up during the podcast, and you're taking phone calls and arranging, mechanical fixes
news.
For your truck. And
just fake news.
Yeah, once again,
so forth.
Divine providence that you left your phone somewhere.
It looks like Will has it called up, the gospel for this past week. Was it Vocation Sunday? Was it Priesthood Sunday? The gospel was certainly focused on the apostolic call of Jesus.
I did the annual Catholic appeal talk. So. Mm-hmm.
That's a thing.
Yeah.
It happens annually.
Yep. So we're waiting for Will.
I've got it up. I didn't know.
Okay. Let's read it.
Okay. All right, let me move the mic here. Just moving the mic on over. All right. So this past Sunday's gospel comes from Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. While the crowd was pressing in on Jesus and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. He saw two boats there alongside the lake. The fishermen had disembarked and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, he asked him to put out a short distance from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. After he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and lower your nets for a catch." Simon said in reply, "Master, We have worked hard all night and have caught nothing. But at your command I will lower the nets. When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were tearing. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They came and filled both boats, so that the boats were in danger of sinking. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at the knees of Jesus and said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For astonishment at the catch of fish they had made seized him, and all those with him, and likewise James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were the partners of Simon. Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." When they brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. Amen.
Yep. Lots going on in that text.
You know what I'm always reminded of when I hear this text is the film that actually was produced by the United States Catholic Bishops called Fishers of Men. And it's a cool little film. It's like 30 minutes long, mm-hmm. and it's a great reflection on the call to priesthood. Mm-hmm. Has, of course, this text as its inspiration for the film. And you see a few different examples of seminarians and priests in the film and talking about their life, and very inspirational. I was very moved when I saw it originally. That's what I got to say about my first reactions.
I have a preliminary question for everyone. I think for some people this is a legitimate question, right? Who is Simon? I don't hear the name Simon later on in the Gospels, so who is Simon?
Peter, isn't it?
It is. It's Peter, yeah. Right.
So what's the question?
Well, no. I mean, who is Simon? So it's Peter. So of course, the name Simon is the name that Peter had before Jesus changed his name. And again, I think it's been a while that we've talked about this on the podcast, but Jesus changed his name when he said, "You are Peter, you are Kephas, you are solid rock," right?
Rock.
And Peter, of course, it comes from the Latin, Petra, mm-hmm. Which means rock. So it's before the name change of Peter happens. This is an important moment, right, in the life of Peter. So it's before Jesus has kind of confirmed him in his faith. And this is the first moment when Peter kind of identifies Jesus for who he is, right? In the boat. I have more thoughts on that later. I don't want to jump the gun, but yeah. So firstly, right, Simon is the same person as Peter, just a different name before Jesus changes his name.
Right. But let me stop you real quick and mm-hmm. we'll throw this in. Perhaps this is an aside, but, you mentioned Petra. Mm-hmm. So the Protestant person would say, yeah, there you go. Petra versus Petro or Petros, right? Meaning boulder or rock. And Peter is the pebble is what they would say. That Jesus didn't really build, you know, he built the church upon himself and not so much the person of Peter. Makes sense, right? That's what they say, right? Okay, however, Jesus spoke Aramaic. In Aramaic, it's kepha, which means rock.
Exactly. Well, and then, of course, to the historical place where this exchange happened, where Jesus changed the name of Peter. I mean, archaeologists, so this isn't even like a religious thing. Archaeologists have determined the site where this happened, and it's, I mean, literally this gigantic boulder. I haven't been there personally. I don't know if anybody in the room has, but from what I've been told, it's this gigantic boulder that's like larger than life. So of course, semantics and language aside, that in fact it's definitely not a pebble. But yeah, right. So no, that's a great point. I don't know. I have other thoughts.
And it, by the way, feel free to jump in, Jim, whether or not Father gets your name correct when he refers to you. But I wanted to point out two things. First of all, there's two boats there in the gospel, and it's one particular boat that Jesus chooses to step into, and that's the boat that belongs to Simon.
Boom.
Jesus is God. He didn't do anything by accident, right? So we have to believe that this was in part maybe one more step in leading Peter or Simon, formerly known as Simon, to his position of leadership among the others, and to show, like, by his own authority as the Messiah, you know, it's going to say something to the crowd without saying words, that I'm stepping into Simon's boat, right? Like, now I've just been, this person, Simon, has just been validated in his leadership.
Right. And the gospel writer, in this case, Luke, right, made it a point to point out that Jesus stepped, he didn't say Jesus got into one of the boats. He made it a point to point out that Jesus stepped into the boat belonging to Simon.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And I have a question on that. Why is sometimes the church referred to as the bark of Peter? What's that all about? Is it another rhetorical question I have to answer? Come on, you gotta
answer your own questions, bro. That's so weird. Like asking questions that you have an answer for. Because I don't. You make it sound like you actually have a question.
I don't want to make it the Will podcast again, dude. That's why. But so we call the church the Bark of St. Peter, mm-hmm. Which is the boat of St. Peter.
And it's spelled differently. It's spelled differently than the tree, right? B A R K is the stuff on the outside of a tree. B A R Q U E is a boat.
Why is it spelled differently?
Oh my gosh.
Anyway, get out of here. So another name for the church is the Bark of Peter, meaning the boat of Peter. So this is so multifaceted, right? So it's not just this encounter that happens between Jesus and Simon, and then everybody's watching, right? So as you guys said, he chooses the boat of Peter that Peter's leading. Okay, so the first point. Second point is that he institutes a change in what Peter will be doing. So you'll no longer be fishing for fish, doing this occupation. You become fishers of men. So he is bringing people, men, I mean, you know, brethren, bringing the brethren into the bark of Peter, right? So it has bigger significance than just Jesus saying, okay, you're no longer going to be doing this. You're going to be walking around preaching around the desert. It means you will change, right?
And you'll be doing more than fishing for fish.
Yes.
Right? And you'll be fishing for men, for souls.
Into the bark of Peter.
Now, is this after this? I'm just wondering, after this event, from there on, did Jesus refer to Simon as Kepa or, you follow me? Was this at the, no, this was actually not, because that would be when Jesus gave authority the keys.
Correct.
Okay, that would be right. Okay, yeah. just clarifying that.
Yeah, yeah. So when Jesus changes Peter's name, I think it happens later on in at least the Gospel of Luke. It happens later on. So
I've been trying to think about the Gospels from a really personal perspective lately. So last week, when we heard the second part of Jesus's announcing that he was fulfilling the messianic prophecy in Nazareth, it struck me that I tried to put myself in his shoes to think about what it would have been like to announce to all the people who had known me all my life that I was something much more than they ever thought that I was, and how much courage that would have taken. And so this week I was thinking about Peter as a businessman and the fact that Jesus tells him to put out into deep water and put down his nets. And he hauls up this catch of fish that's so huge that it breaks the nets. And I thought, for Peter as a businessman, how powerful that sign was to him, because Jesus was taking care of all the details of his life. And for me in my own spiritual life, that's something that I've been trying to grapple with, that the Lord doesn't want me just only on Sundays. He doesn't want only my pious prayers. He wants everything. And so when I make him a morning offering, for example, I offer him everything. I offer him my failures for the day. I offer him all my weaknesses for the day, because he wants everything. There's not a single detail that he wants to overlook in my life.
But that's it. Oh, go ahead.
No, that's a great point. Because I was just really thinking about how point. I was thinking about how the gospel points us in the direction of the call to faith, right? To have faith. And Simon's whole story, right, is a constant journey of being challenged to the question of, will you believe? Do you believe, right? Even the moment that he professes faith in Jesus as the Messiah there in Caesarea Philippi, and Jesus grants him the authority of the first pope, or leader of the church, is a moment of faith and testimony. And here again, he's being challenged, right? So I love this quote there in the gospel where Jesus has been teaching them, first of all, right? So he's giving them, first of all, some groundwork. He's just filling their minds and their hearts, right? The word of God is giving them the word of God, and it's softening their hearts. And then he says to Simon and the other apostles, take your nets now that I've been teaching for a while, now that your heart is malleable and you might be open to faith now. And I think here of the movement of the liturgy and how we actually hear the word of God first, and then we're brought to the table of the Lord, the altar of the Lord, to have faith that this is the Eucharist. Okay, so backing up into the gospel though, he says, put your nets out into the deep. Duc in altum is the Latin phrase you sometimes come across. And they say, and Simon says, first of all, he says, but Lord, we've worked hard all night. So he's being real about the challenge this is going to be for him to do this, because it's an action of faith. Mm-hmm. And everything spins on that conjunction word, but, you know, Lord, we've worked hard all night and we've caught nothing, but I will go ahead and do this.
If
you say so, right? Like I'm moving into a place of faith, and like it's not a confidence per se, but it's an openness to trusting the Lord. And I think, just like you said, Jim, this is maybe the challenge for each one of us to find that place where we can say, doesn't seem like it makes any sense, but.
I think there's also a misconception that gets spread a lot of times about the apostles, that they're this group of bumblers. And, you know, you often hear that, oh, here's Peter tripping over himself again. But you see here and many other places that he passes the test over and over again. If you had a thriving, Peter was probably a pretty prosperous businessman, a pretty prosperous fisherman. If you had a thriving business, now we see the rich young man whom Jesus tells that there's one more thing you can do, give away all that you have and come and follow me. The rich man went away sad, for he had many possessions. We don't know whether he returns to follow Jesus, but it doesn't say that he did. But what did Peter do when given the chance? I'm asking that question. So now you all can answer it. Because
is that a rhetorical question?
I didn't want to follow after Will and ask a question that
Go ahead,
I had
Tony.
The answer to.
Go ahead, Tony. Take it.
Wait, what was the question again?
So Peter, well, you can't remember names and you can't remember questions around here. I don't know what it is about this place.
There it is, ladies
Peter,
and gentlemen.
Peter doesn't do what the rich young man does. He walks away from a thriving, prosperous business. He just got this huge catch of fish. What did he do with that?
Yeah.
That's an interesting question.
Yeah. What did he do with it?
But it says that he dropped everything and he followed Jesus at that point. Depart me from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. He recognized who Jesus was. He had the perspicacity to do that, first of all, which many other people in the Gospels can't do. Even in John's Gospel, when Jesus announces or gives the teaching about his body and blood, so many people who had seen him do amazing things, raise people from the dead, they ceased following him at that point.
Well,
but
even
Peter
the rich,
doesn't fail.
Even the rich young man recognized Jesus for, you know, being
exactly
something special about this guy, right? Yep. But he couldn't bring himself to do what the Lord was asking him.
But Peter did.
Yep. Peter did, right.
So if he fails in the end, I don't know. I have a soft spot for Peter, I guess, because imagine yourself in this situation, how terrified he was.
Yep. No, and that's a great point, how terrified he was. Because what's important as well in this gospel is that, okay, you know, and I think in the same vein, right, we have this tendency to kind of romanticize some of the gospels as well. So we think of like, oh, it's such a prosperous catch. They're bringing in all this fish. It's great prosperity, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But the way that Luke writes it is that so this catch of fish was so great that the nets were in danger of tearing. So first. And second, they had to call over the other boat to help pull in this catch, right? That both boats were in danger of sinking. So there is absolutely an aspect of fear and of terror and things that I think are also relatable to what's going on in the church, right? So in the bark of Peter, we brought in so many people, so many cultures, so much diversity, all this great things. But there are points in throughout the church's history where the bark of Peter is in danger of sinking, right? I mean, there's so much there, right? And then as well,
I dig that metaphor. I officially dig that metaphor as the metaphor guy.
That's two in one
dig,
show.
Yeah, I dig that metaphor because...
That's two. Okay, that's enough.
But you're
no
right.
More.
But then where are you putting the theme song is the real question.
Which one? Yeah, exactly. No, because they're bringing in like this incredible catch. And that's exactly like you're saying, Will. Over the course of history, the church has brought in this incredible catch. And not every fish would have been a good fish or a healthy fish, right? They're just bringing the fish in. And inevitably, now we would... The abundance is what causes the sinking in this gospel, whereas the sin is what has tried to cause the sinking of the bark, unsuccessfully, of course, forever unsuccessfully, because you know the gates of hell shall never prevail against the church. But I can see where you're going with that. I really see, even with that second reading with St. Paul, I see again this testimony to Jesus being the one, being the Messiah, and the challenge for the apostles, including Simon, to make that testimony of faith. And then, of course, that relates directly to our lives and our journey. Yes. And how we're daily being challenged to that. And I had another thought that was there too, and I think it's escaping me along with names and questions. But it had something to do with Simon's profession of faith. And I'll think about it. I'll think about it and I'll figure it out after you comment.
I do have a point on this profession of faith. It's so fascinating to me. And I mean, you know, so Luke, all these gospel writers, they all, Jesus, Peter, all these guys would have known the prophets. They would have known the Old Testament, right? So it's so interesting. And the church is structured this so beautifully. Peter's profession of faith, right? Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man, right? What does that hearken to but the first reading? Isaiah, let's see here. Wait, I'm pulling it up. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 2 and 2 to, you know, 1 to 2a, 3 to 8. But what does Isaiah say when he has the vision of the throne room? This house filled with smoke. Shout out to Holy Smokes, mm-hmm. Catholic Review. But, you know, so he's having this vision of the throne room of the Lord. I mean, he is beholding God in his glory. He talks about the train of his garments filling the whole throne room, the seraphim, you know, many-eyed, six-winged, chanting holies around the throne of God, like this incredible, incredible imagery of the celestial glory. But what does Isaiah do? So he falls on his face and he says, woe to me, I am doomed, for I am a man of unclean lips living among a people of unclean lips. Mm. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Isn't that...
That's beautiful.
Isn't that... I mean, you can draw a straight line from that prophecy of Isaiah, from his profession of faith, to the profession of Peter.
No, and in a similar fashion, at the very end of that first reading, Isaiah says, here I am, send me.
Yes.
The word apostle means one sent, one who is sent, right? And that certainly is the case here in the gospel with Simon and the other apostles. I remember what my thought was, by the way. This whole flow in the gospel, to reiterate something I said earlier, I see as being one of liturgical nature, right? Yes. Notice that Jesus comes, you know, among them at the lake, and then he goes out into the boat and he's teaching. And just like I said, that's could be seen as a reference to the teaching we receive in the Word of God at Mass. Mm-hmm. And then after the teaching, he calls forth faith, which then allows for a miracle to happen, the catching of all the fish. And for us in the Mass, it's the body and blood of Christ being made present on the altar through the miracle of the Mass, through the miracle of holy orders.
Right? To all of us who are sinful people.
Yeah, absolutely. And so what should our response be? Perhaps it should be, you know, yes, I accept the Eucharist, but I'm so overwhelmed by this miracle. I see it now in faith. As I look up at the altar at Mass, and I, you know, and I realize my smallness and His greatness.
Yes. And our response should be, "Yes, Lord, I am a sinful person. Now, but regardless, send me."
Ite missa est. Right?
Yeah. But also that
ite missa est.
Send me. But also the difference here with Peter and the first reading, that Isaiah falls down on his face in the presence of God. God tells Moses that if he were to see Him, he would die. He can't even behold His glory. It's that terrifying, that awesome. Peter recalls all that by saying, depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. But then what happens after that? Jesus accompanies him for 3 years.
Yes.
In the flesh. And so that's the importance of Jesus for our faith, is that just He came to make visible the invisible again. Mm-hmm. He came to bridge that gap mm-hmm. so that we could see God face to face again. Mm-hmm. We could walk and talk with Him in our own lives. That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, no, and you're so right, because what is the first thing that Jesus says to Peter? You know, I mean, Peter falls on his knees, right? Exactly as you're saying, a mirroring of Isaiah. He falls on his knees, professes Him, and instead of saying, no, I'm not God, I'm not the Christ, this kind of thing, he simply says, be not afraid. From now on, you'll be catching men, you know? Mm. It's beautiful. Be not afraid. Get up.
But there's so much there that you've already talked about. But, you know, in the Old Testament, Isaiah has that. He's a prophet. He's meant to call the people back to God. But he's meant to call them back to God through sacrifice that never bridges that gap fully. God says, I don't desire sacrifice, I desire contrition, you know? Mm. And it's only with Jesus, it's only by seeing Jesus face to face that we're able to make that leap again in Jesus to the Father. Mm. So it's just...
And
it's
confident
beautiful.
That, like you said earlier, confident that he looks out for our every need.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
I love this message for the common man, right? Who is married, who is trying to supply for his family, who is constantly up against, you know, a head full of worries and anxieties as he goes to sleep, you know, and women too, right? I'm just speaking in general here, mankind, right? And how often it's the case that we're wondering, okay, yeah, I might give myself over to the Lord, but is he going to take care of all this stuff that I'm worrying about right now? And the answer in this gospel is yes.
And that's that worry is a recapitulation of the worry or the anxiety of the garden. Mm. That really God is not a father who wants to take care of our every need. Mm. And it's when Jesus comes and sees us face to face that now we have a person we can go to and we can see he is like me. He does care about me. He cares about what's happening in my life, all the details.
And he provides.
Yes.
Because as you mentioned, Peter was a, you know, the fishing industry at the time was probably white collar. I mean, it was, if you had a fleet of boats, you were doing good. I mean, that was a big deal, right? And you think about when, if you own a restaurant and your business isn't happening, you worry. You know, how are you going to make a living, right? So you imagine they go out fishing, they catch nothing. You know, they must have been worried. Gee, we caught nothing. What are we going to do, right? So, but then with the Lord provided. We see that in abundance, correct? When he gave them all those fish that night.
Yes.
But I want to just switch this a little bit because something that came to my mind when I first read this as I was preparing, you know, what I was going to say is you'll notice how, say, for example, when Jesus worked the miracle of the loaves and fishes, the Lord worked the miracle. But then he said to his disciples, take what I have done and now you feed the people. Mm. Right. And same here. Jesus didn't. He gave them the instruction to go out into the water, but he made them do it. They had a part to play. He didn't just make fish rain out of the sky.
Right.
And suddenly there were, you know, fish cooked and cleaned, ready to be, you know, eaten. Jesus said, you do your part. Right. I will provide. I've got your back. OK, so collaborate with me, you know, cooperate and collaborate with me. And together we will get this done. You follow me?
Yeah.
And you know, when it comes to, you know, our lives, we have to do our part. God gives us many gifts and talents and treasure. OK, but he expects us not to just sit on the sidelines, but to actually get in the game. And he always provides for us and gives us the means to be able to do what we have to do. And ultimately, it all is for the building up of the kingdom of the Lord on earth.
Yeah, exactly. Because, I mean, God, at the end of the day, is not a puppeteer, right? He's not gonna take control of our bodies, take control of our wealth, take control of our finances, our families, whatever the case may be, right? Is that we have, and this is the beautiful thing about our faith, the beautiful thing about Christianity, is that God is a father who trusts his children, you know? And I have another thought, if you guys will permit me. Just bringing this back to the...
Well, let's take a vote on it. What do you think?
I'll allow it. I'll allow it.
All right. So bringing this back to the analogy, or dare I say, the metaphor.
I know.
But like, I'm bad at semantics. So I don't know if it's an analogy, a metaphor, a simile, or whatever. Anyway, so, you know, pulling this back to Peter... You know, Simon Peter, as the Pope, is the bark of Peter, the fish being all of us, bringing in, you know, fishers of men, this kind of analogy. Because what's so fascinating that struck me in this gospel is, so Peter, again, is the one who identifies Jesus as the Christ. Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. Right? He's the one who professes the faith and says those words, falls at the feet of Christ, all this kind of stuff. But then what does the next couple of lines say? So, you know, Jesus comforts Peter, do not be afraid, from now on you'll be catching men. And then the last line, when they brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. So it wasn't Peter professed the faith, believed he was the Christ. Peter alone dropped his nets and followed him and left everybody else. Peter professed faith on behalf of the other fishermen as well. And they collectively left everything and followed him. Right. You know, it's no mistake that Luke writes those words. It's no mistake that Luke writes the names of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, mm-hmm. as we know, become, you know, the other apostles.
Okay, one further thought, okay? Jesus obviously sees or saw in Peter something that Peter didn't see in himself. Because for, you know, Peter said it, I'm a sinful man, depart from me, right? How often do we don't look at ourselves through God's eyes. We just, when we look at ourselves, we see trash oftentimes, right? Mm. So the Lord sees, the Lord knows our capabilities. He knows what we're capable of. He knows our potential when we don't know it ourselves. And so oftentimes, and this is a trick of the devil uses fear. And a lot of times the fear, it's brought on our own fear concerning ourselves. Mm. I can't do that. I'm too stupid. I'm not smart enough. I'm whatever. I'm too weak.
Yeah.
We see this with Moses, you know. Moses was making excuses why he couldn't do what the God of Israel was telling him to do, right? So, but the Lord Jesus sees in Peter something great. Okay? Mm-hmm. And he knew, Jesus knew that Peter would fall on occasion. He knew that Peter would deny him.
Yep.
But yet, what does Jesus do? Makes him the captain of the team.
Yeah, exactly. Well, because what does our God offer us? Our God doesn't offer us slaveship. He doesn't offer us, you know, to be one of the many pieces on this pile of garbage, whatever, right? He offers us sonship. Mm-hmm. He offers us sonship and brings us into the family of God, into this eternal reality of the family of God. It is distinct and it is important, right?
Right. And, yeah. And you know, the Lord said, I did not give you a spirit of cowardice, mm-hmm. you know, courage and strength and intelligence, right?
Yeah.
So he gives us his spirit, which makes us, sets us apart from everybody else in this world. You know, we Christians, we followers of Christ, and we are capable now of doing, of catching fish. I mean, souls, not fish, but we can do that too. You know, I've done that before. I caught some, you know, bass not long ago. So, but souls, we have the power. We have the ability to bring souls to Christ.
Yep.
You know?
Amen.
Okay, that's our discussion there. Okay, one last thing.
Yeah.
Our president gave his State of the Union address, okay? And if you're a fan of President Trump or not, okay, he did speak powerfully, I thought, on the issue of abortion and mm-hmm. late term
That's right.
and even post-birth abortion, which is, you know, suddenly... You know, but I just want to commend him and just express sadness that there were people in the room that disagreed.
Members of Congress.
Did not agree with him.
Yeah, a number of heads, unfortunately. Well, and I was always, I'm always shocked when I see women disagreeing with the points he was making about abortion. And praise God that he's taking on something of a stand for at least that piece of the pro-life movement. And what I'm shocked by is that I'm imagining many of these women might be responding or reacting negatively to that, to that platform because of a false ideology they have of feminism, right? Or what they call feminism. And it's such an anti-feminist position to take to support abortion, you know, really and truly.
Yep. And, very sad that our own state, the House passed HB 51 and I think HB 90, which allowed
the bill about
for
euthanasia, I think.
Yeah, but that's been going on in this state for a very long time where a woman can get an abortion for whatever reason, even up to the last day
right.
of pregnancy. So that's been going on. Now they just want to solidify it lawfully and to change, you know, the New Mexico State Constitution bans abortion. It does not allow for abortion, but they want to change that. Okay, so we're praying that it doesn't pass through the Senate.
Yep, and there is okay. still time to call your legislators and make a bid against HB 90 and HB 51.
Yeah. Which I think these actions, like the one that happened in New York and almost happened in Virginia, I think these are either the death throes of this ideology or its ascendancy. I'm not sure. It's not clear to me mm-hmm. yet which one it is. I mean, obviously, tactically, they are passing these laws to try to prepare for the day that Roe v. Wade gets overturned because they can see the writing on the wall in terms of the constitution of the court. But remains to be seen whether this is a good thing. It's possible that these are death throes.
Yeah,
that's a good point. And the way I see it, spiritually is the devil is running quickly, quickly running out of time.
Mm-hmm. And he's playing a hand that he had kept hidden up until now. When you were talking about infanticide, I mean, that's talked about openly now.
Yeah.
And we've come to it. I mean, if you think about the 90s when Bill Clinton said that abortion should be safe, legal, and rare, mm-hmm. why should it be rare?
Exactly.
We don't know. I mean, he never specified why, but presumably it should be rare because it's bad. But they've ditched that language now. And now it's actually, there are people making the argument that to have an abortion is an empowering thing for a woman. And wow. that to possibly murder a child who has been born is a legitimate course of action.
Think of the short step to what the ain't like a spirituality of like, say, the human sacrificing tribes of old that we read about in our history books, right?
Well,
whereas killing another human was a right sacrifice and also an empowering thing. I mean, like short steps to that from where we're at right now. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is one of Satan's favorite plays, is to get us to sacrifice our children. Mm. The Canaanites did it. The Phoenicians did it. It was commonplace in the old world.
That's spooky.
Yeah.
So spooky.
Here it is. So actually Cardinal Dolan, just a quick shout out to him. He's been in going back and forth with Governor Cuomo in an op-ed in the New York Times. And so he has this great line, and I'm glad I found it before we moved on from this topic. But so Cardinal Dolan wrote, "Those who once told us that abortion had to remain safe, legal, and rare have now made it dangerous, imposed, and frequent." Right? Mm. Man, it is diabolical. We are up against principalities and powers here.
Absolutely.
So definitely pray that, especially here in New Mexico, that we can, you know, that our senators will have, you know, the
wisdom,
yeah, to vote HB 90 and HB 51 down. So
that's right.
Definitely pray for them.
I don't know how we're doing on time.
No, we have no time limit.
Not anymore. Yeah.
No, we used to. The first few episodes, we were like kind of anal retentive about the time. Now that's all out the window. So. Yeah.
You don't have to be a Republican to be a good Catholic. You don't have to be a Democrat to be a good Catholic. But imagine if Catholics were well educated, if they were well catechized, mm-hmm. they would never be able to get away with this stuff.
Right.
Not just in New Mexico, but in the whole country.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. If Catholics were mobilized, we would change the world overnight.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Absolutely true. Yeah. Absolutely
yeah.
true.
Yeah.
Okay, and then the final point I want to make is, the argument that the baby in the womb is, you know, well, it's not a child, and we don't know when it's a child, and it's a blob of material, and, well, okay, look, I'm a blob of material. Tony, you're a blob of material.
It's true, you guys are kind of blob.
Some of you are more blobby than others.
There it is.
Oh, so we're a funny business owner, are we? Okay, but you know, so that argument... Most people, including people who are pro-abortion, now have to admit, because of science, that life begins at conception. So they had to change their argument. So now no longer do they argue, well, we don't know if it's a child, if it's a blob, and we don't know when life begins. They know when life begins. They had to change the argument. Now the argument is a woman should have the right to decide whether or not she wants to be a mother. So if that's true when the baby is 6 months in the womb or 8 months or 9 months in the womb, why not a week after the baby's born?
Mm-hmm. There's
the
no
baby's
reason.
Born, right?
Yeah, oh, there's no reason not to.
I've decided that I don't want to be a mother.
Right.
That's off what the governor baby. Of Virginia said.
Yep. Yeah, and I mean, they have these terms now that, I mean, honestly and truly, you know, not to freak out anybody on the podcast, but it's true that they use these terms now. Like,
it's a helicopter.
Yeah.
Being taken over.
Well, when you're so close to an Air Force base, you know.
There you go.
What happened?
So they, they use these terms now, like post-birth abortion. So, like, let that sink in for just a second. Post-birth abortion. Mm. So the baby is born, and then, you know, they would take the baby.
Like, it's such, like you said, it's semantics. Mm-hmm. It's a euphemism. What it is infanticide. Something that the early ancient Roman Empire actually had in place as a legality,
right,
that they could kill their children in certain situations. And so when you're looking for sources that go back, you know, to ancient times, like say among the church and the early fathers, they're actually preaching against infanticide. And Father, I mean, I would hope this never happens in our lifetime, but you may end up getting to the point where you're having to preach against it, not just abortion in the womb, but infanticide yeah. outside of the womb.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's bad enough to be taking life inside the womb. And, you know,
but I had this thought. Real quick. So Ted Bundy, right, you know, killed a bunch of people, right?
Sure.
Son of Sam killed a bunch of people.
Yeah.
Would you say that those were post-birth abortions? Could we say, that's not murder, it's just post-birth abortion?
Mm. Mm.
Well, I think we already have seeded the argument in terms of terminology when we make a distinction between infanticide and abortion.
Mm. Boom.
We do that all the time. Now we're saying, well, what you're talking about is infanticide. What's the difference between infanticide and late-term abortion? Just a difference of location.
Exactly.
One moment that child who is ready to live outside the womb is able to be killed legally. The next moment, we're all horrified by it.
Yes.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
Yes.
That is diabolical.
That was part and parcel of one of the messages I got in the movie Gosnell, which you can pick up. I think you can pick it up on DVD through the internet. I've seen some copies float around. It used to be it was at the theaters there for a while. But I think that was more or less the message, the same message of that movie.
Yes.
Yep. Okay. Well, that wraps it up. Jimmy, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Thank you, Father Dave. I mean, Father Scott. Oh, sorry.
Outstanding. Zing.
How rude.
That was awesome.
That's very rude.
Yeah, you should come back. And we'll get the Lord of the Ring books, and it'll be a hoot. It'd be a real hoot with all of your impersonations.
Boy, that was so Indiana of you. How Hoosier of you. What a hoot.
Sure.
What a hoot.
Hoot.
You say that in Indiana. Whoa, what a hoot.
What a hoot.
Be a real treat.
What a hoot.
What a hoot.
Hey, so, you know, speaking of using your resources and gifts and talents and treasures, we're building a church. Aren't we, Father?
Oh, really? You don't say. Really? No.
Yeah.
Stop. Are we? I had no idea. I could not have.
Someday we're going to build a church. And we're only going to be able to build it if we put all of our gifts to good use.
But when we say we mean you with us. It's all of us. So donate to our cause and go to sjvnm.org, go to donate, scroll down to building fund. And, you know, $5, $10, $100, $1,000, $10,000, $1,000,000.
$1,000,000. I mean, yeah.
We'll take it. Yep.
Yep.
Really? With pleasure and with great gratitude.
We'll use it for God's
glory.
Yes,
we will. Absolutely.
That's
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Okay, and we have an Instagram page. We got all kinds of stuff going on.
Yes, we do. So, yeah. So I'm gonna hold true to that as soon as this podcast. Well, maybe not today because you won't hear this until probably tomorrow. So I'm gonna post the picture of Father Scott and Chevelle Shepherd, the winner of NBC's The Voice. I'm gonna post that on our Instagram page. Give us a follow at Holy Smokes Catholic. Drop us a line at Holy. I'm fumbling
Use your
around
words,
here.
Well.
Here we go. Okay. So drop us a line. We'd love to smoke a cigar with you. holysmokes@sjvnm.org. Finally, a shout out. Thank you to the people who have left us a review on iTunes. You guys are the bomb. We're now up to 28 reviews, so that's incredible. We got two people who wrote a review, so I wanted to give a shout out to Angel Rivera, who's a good friend of ours.
Cigar smoker.
In fact, so Angel writes here, 5 stars. He says, been listening since the first episode. He says he's the one of 10 fans. So thanks, Anel.
Yeah, we have 10. Now we're up to 11 now that Jimmy's here. He's listening.
He says he's been listening since the first episode. Doing great. He'd love to smoke a stogie sometime. Anel, drop us a line on the email. Connect with us. I'll send you my number. We'll arrange this in this next week. We'd love to smoke a cigar with you. And then also shout out to someone. Their name is Dad with the Camera Phone. On iTunes, he says, our podcast is excellent, accessible, entertaining, excellent Catholic content, very accessible, banter is entertaining, enlightening, and engaging.
I can tell you guys are doing a booming business because, like, when you listen to Howard Stern, you'll often hear him say, hey, we got a message from Tony, and then he reads the message from Tony. Like, he's got millions of people writing messages about how great his podcast is.
That's awesome. Well, we're going to do it, man. Yeah. We're going to do it, man.
Stern? Following suit with the pros.
Is that Howard Stern?
Oh, I don't know.
Did you say Howard Stern?
Yeah.
You listen to him?
No.
I was going to say that. Yeah, I don't know.
But yeah, th- thank you guys for your review. So we're at 28 now. It's awesome. Drop us a line. Okay, let's go everybody. Smoke a cigar.
Okay. Adios, amigos.
Oh, wait. Can I give a shout out to
are
our friend?
Are you kidding?
Come on. Oh my gosh.
I got to give a shout out to our friend.
It will never end.
I know. It will never end. I'm sorry, guys. I'm the worst. I wanted to give a shout out. Mark, let's see here. We met him today. Eric Martinez.
Yes.
Eric Martinez.
Yes.
So, Eric, actor. Shout out if you're listening to us. Gave you a card today at Matucci's Moderna Restaurant. He's a local actor. Well, not even a local actor. He does all kinds of productions, oh, yeah. Films, movies, TV shows all over the country.
He was just filming a show up in Minnesota. And then Connecticut and back to Minnesota. Yep. Now he's back here. And he's been in Better Called Saul.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And is going to be back on the program.
Yep.
Soon.
And he does all these great anti-bullying campaigns across the entire world with Quentin Aaron, who starred in The Blind Side. So big shout out to you, Eric, if you're listening to the podcast. We're going to smoke a cigar with him and let you guys know what that's all about.
Okay.
So.
Now, is it time to say goodbye?
Yeah.
Jim, do you have any shout-outs?
Claire and Jude, hello.
Outstanding.
I love you guys.
Oh, my gosh. Awesome. This is going to go on
forever. This is great. How many shout-outs do you have, Father?
This is the greatest. Yeah, Padre, you got to have a shout-out. Come on.
Well, where's my list?
God bless you guys.
Yep, have a good one.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington. Home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at LexusOfLexington.com.